Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist for one more week, right?
That's correct, yes.
Should we fill them in on how you bought me lunch, you opened doors? I mean, you were like over the top. I don't know what. You treated me like better than I treat myself. I don't know what the deal was the other day, but thank you.
I was just feeling rarely generous there, Brad.
Yeah, what was the deal with that? I don't know.
No.
Rarely generous. I mean, you're leaving one job. Are you emotional about this?
You know what? I mean, to be honest, Brad, not really. I mean, I think part of it is because I'm working right down the street, and yeah. I will see most of these people. I will still have my hand in sort of freelance writing, and I guess I bought you lunch because I am feeling sort of nostalgic, I think. And
nostalgic's another word for old. Are you suggesting you're with somebody old? Is that the deal?
No, what year
Whimsical.
Did we meet? Do you know what year we met about?
I would say 89, 90.
That's about what I thought. So,
yeah.
I mean, you think how long we've known each other.
It's the first time you bought me lunch.
Now, that is not true. But, you know, I was... Don't count on it ever happening again, pal.
Well, and here's the reality is your spouse works there.
Yes.
So you know what's going on internally, and it's not like you're not going to see these people anymore.
No, exactly. A lot of these are some of my better best friends, and I see them anyway, you know. So, yeah, it's all good. It's a good thing.
Okay, so your most memorable story. I'm going to have to do this with you now. I could do a 30-minute media podcast with you, and I've actually been considering it, but because we only have 10 minutes, your most memorable story at the Arizona Republic.
Oh, gosh. You know, for some reason, when I went to – I'm lucky enough to cover 3 Winter Olympics, and when I went to Vancouver, I decided I was going to fly to Victoria, where Steve Nash grew up, and go to his house and try to do sort of the consummate Steve Nash story because he was still with the Suns at the time.
Right.
And there was something about, so I go to the, he gave me his address of the childhood house he grew up in. His family did not live there anymore, but the people that lived there allowed me to kind of go in the backyard, look around, and there was a fence in his backyard, and on the other side of the fence, there was an elementary school, and there was a basketball court with one basketball hoop, you know, the chain kind, and it was kind of run down.
Yep.
But it was the hoop that Steve Nash told me he would like daily hop over the fence and shoot about, you know, 300 free throws a day.
Mm.
And it was kind of a symbol of why a guy, if you pass him on the street, you don't necessarily think professional athlete. I mean, he was, about 6'2". But I saw that hoop, and it just was a kind of a representation of his work ethic. And for me to do stories and see where people got their start and how they did it, something about that trip was probably my most memorable.
Story you beat yourself up over.
Oh, gosh. Where do I start? I would say, and I can't, it's maybe the stories that I didn't write. I think when some of the stories broke about domestic violence in the NFL, I wish I had reacted quicker and I wish I had reacted stronger. I think, you know, those stories have happened for a while, but they became more public in recent years, and finally the league started doing something. Why wasn't I calling for the league to do more earlier? You know, that's something I think I would beat myself up over.
Subject matter, who treated you the best?
Oh, gosh, I've been so lucky in this community. You know, Jerry Colangelo has to be at the top of the list for someone as important as he is, even in, you know, when he was at the top of his game here in the sense of having all these teams, his hands in these teams, he would always immediately call back or text me back or grant me an interview, or if he got mad at me, he'd let me know. And then just, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever, I asked him if I could follow him around in Chicago and look at his childhood home. And we did. We got in this nice town car and drove through Chicago, drove through his old neighborhood, which is pretty much my old neighborhood. I grew up a couple miles from him, and his generosity with his time, I never felt there was another motivation, Brad. You know, in our business, sometimes people are nice to you because you can do something for them.
Yep.
I never felt that way with Jerry. I just felt it was real, and I think that's what made him such an accomplished owner and well-respected.
The person you wish you would have healed relationship with that you just can't seem to get closed?
I've made an effort in my career to, when I have issues with people, to try to resolve them because it drives me crazy if I don't. Probably Dirk Cutter. I don't necessarily agree with things that have happened and his decision to still not talk to me or grant me interviews, but I would like someday to sort of hash it out with him, but he does not want any part of it.
That's interesting. If you were to advise someone to be your replacement, what would you advise them of their walking into?
I think the biggest mistake I made early in my career was that I was so hungry to find a voice as a columnist that I forced one that wasn't me. Mm. And I, tried to be, forgive this comparison, sort of a talk radio, kind of a shouty columnist of this is what I feel and nothing else is right. I would often open the sports pages and read my column and cringe because I knew it wasn't me and I didn't feel good about it. But as I got older and wiser, I just said, this is who I'm going to be, and who I'm going to be is a person who understands that it's not always black and white, a person that tends to look at things a glass half full, a person who was raised to strongly believe in compassion. A lot of those things do not make for a good columnist, I think, at times, or at least that's what I was taught. But I certainly felt much more better about my writing when it started reflecting who I was.
Who mentored you?
Oh, gosh. A ton of people. Early in my career, there just were some really good... I got my writing chops sort of in Los Angeles. And so while I don't know if these people necessarily mentored me, but by the way they carried themselves and the way they wrote was that kind of a mentor. I mean, early on in my career, Rick Reilly was a columnist at the Los Angeles Times. I used to love reading him. There was a really talented writer named Dave Cass Stevens at the Los Angeles Daily News where I worked, in the Arizona Republic, who was just fantastic. So there were always just these ton of people. And my good friend who I've talked a lot about, Karen Krause, who lives here, who writes golf for the New York Times, she sort of amazes me every day in her ability to come up with an original story. So she still mentors me, I think.
No, that's good. In this next phase, because you are teaching, but you're not closing the door on writing, but you're not really going to be teaching every day, because there's people that are going to hear this that don't know. There's lots of people have told me, I didn't realize she was leaving. So if you were to lay out what it is exactly you're going to be doing at ASU and what it is you want to do outside of that.
So what I'm doing, and I have been teaching here for the past year and a half, but starting sort of this summer and fall, I'm going to be working in what's called the Cronkite Sports Bureau, and it's part of the amazing sports journalism program they had here at ASU, where you can get your major and your master's in sports journalism. And they have a bureau, which is like a pretty much a regular newsroom, and people, it's like a class that the students can take, and they are operating out of a newsroom. Their work gets published in a lot of different publications around the state, and it's to sort of replicate an actual sports newsroom. And so I'm going to be guiding students there, editing copy, working with this great guy here, Brett Kurland, who a lot of you know, been in the media, and doing that, which has been awesome. I've been doing some of that already. And then I will be still doing some freelance writing, just kind of I'm sort of sorting that part out now, what interests me, what I want to write and all that. But that's kind of my plan.
Could it be outside of sports that you write about?
It could, I have not lost my passion for sports and journalism, so I probably will lean more in that direction. And I think as a sort of journalism, still in the journalism field as a professor, I would have to sometimes be, I could spout off things politically. I'd like to go there sometimes, but I think I still have to be cautious about that.
No, I get that. Who should the Cardinals take at 13?
Oh, good Lord.
is that more difficult than me talking to you about you?
Absolutely, because I'm, you know, I was thinking just this morning.
Good Lord.
Good Lord. You know, I wanted them to take a quarterback, but they have been pretty clear. It sounds like they do not want to take that with their top pick. What they need, cornerback, inside linebacker, safety in addition to quarterbacks. So I don't know, but I think maybe I think we might see a cornerback be their guy, whoever that may be.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add about your run? I mean, this is a big deal to me that you're walking. I hope when you write your goodbye that you are, because you're going to write a goodbye, right? You're not just going to disappear.
Or, I'm going back and forth on that, Brad. I sometimes things I want to, but it also feels a little self-indulgent to me, which I've never felt journalism
is about.
No,
that's not you. I get that. I mean, these last 10 minutes, you've been as transparent as I think you can be on all this, which is good.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot. What was your question?
Are you going to write a goodbye column?
Oh, I don't know. How's that sound? I'm not sure yet.
What is your final assignment?
It'll be fun. I'm the high school sports awards that Arizona Republic does. It's going to be at Gamage Theater, and I will be interviewing Larry Fitzgerald on the stage, who's the special guest.
And that,
that will be a lot of fun.
This Saturday?
Sunday, I think. Yes.
And are you going to get into anything different with Fitz, or is it pretty straightforward? Have you thought through that?
Maybe a little bit. You know, I have to remember that the audience is a lot of high school students. So I think there will be questions about his experience in high school and growing up and things like that. But I will also be reminding him that when I first started covering him, I used to have to chase him down in the parking lot because he never wanted to do interviews. So
that's
I may
true.
Bring that up, even
that's
though that's not on the script.
That's funny. Stay well. Appreciate the time and insight. And next week, we have to have a new open for Paula, guys, because next Monday, like, you're cleaning your desk out this week, right? Like, next Monday, we cannot say AZ Central.
That's correct. Yeah, you better change that up.
All right, we'll get that done.
Get on that.
See you soon. Thanks for lunch.
Okay. All right. Yep. Bye.
There's Paula Bovin, News and Notes. For the final time, AZ Central sports columnist. It was good stuff.